as your Savior. That time, the Scripture teaches that when that took place in your heart and your life, God Himself in the Holy Spirit form came to live inside of you. And nobody here goes big whoop about it. We kind of just go, yes, yeah, so what? And it's like one of the biggest events in human history. The fact that the people who comprise the church, the New Testament church, have the Holy Spirit, God, in spirit form, living inside of them. Anybody amazed by that yet? Anybody? Have you thought about it this week? The answer is probably no. Have you thought about it this month? The answer is probably no. Have you thought about it in the past 6 months or a year? Maybe, but a passing thought. Am I being honest? Because I'm talking about me right now. I'm not talking about you. I seldom think about this. You mean to tell me that the God of the universe is living inside of me right now? Get out! That's outrageous! What's He doing there? Well, that's why we're going to take a couple of weeks to talk about that stuff. He has come inside of us, and the Scripture says as our helper, as our advocate, the picture of a lawyer or somebody coming alongside of, that kind of a picture to give me encouragement and strength and wisdom. And it's not like my best friend's wisdom, strength, and encouragement. It's wisdom, strength, and encouragement from the God of the universe to me. Now, don't take any notes on this, but try to understand this for a minute. Watch this if you can, all right? Stop looking down, look up and get this, all right? Do you know that some people are teachers? Stop when you think I've gone too far. Do you know that some people are lawyers? Hold on, I'm not done. Some are doctors. Some are delivery people. Just say stop when you get it, okay? Some people out there are retired. I'm not done, okay? Some people are single. Some people are married. Some people are working in an office. Some people are computer geeks. Sorry, Chris, I did that for you. Are you getting the idea yet? I could go around this room and rim the room with all the different things that we do in our life's professions. And with those life professions comes this. Individual calls. Watch this. The person over here who's a teacher, well, whoop-de-doo that they're a teacher. They're a teacher in a certain school, in a certain situation, in a certain family. And they, as a teacher, don't have the same experience as this person who's a teacher. Or this one, or this one, or this one. And they come to Jesus Christ. And let's just stay with the teachers for a moment. They come to Jesus Christ, and they are a teacher? No. They're a teacher with three kids. They're a teacher who's teaching in high school. They're a teacher who really struggles with this. They're a teacher who's in debt. They're a teacher whose car isn't working real well. They're a teacher who's got some really cool friends and a couple of nasty ones too. They're a teacher who's living a particular life that nobody else has got. Even though they're a teacher and they join hundreds of thousands of other people in the country who are teachers. The Holy Spirit comes into that teacher's life when they believe in Jesus Christ. And now, individually, has a plan for that teacher in that life situation. An individual plan for how they're going to grow in Jesus Christ and how God is going to use them. Which, by the way, is different than the teacher who's across the hall in another classroom in the same grade, same school, same education, same everything. A whole different calling. My life is not like your life. My life has never been like your life. Your life has never been like my life. Do you know that I know different people than you know? Am I going too fast for anybody? Are you writing notes on this? This is like genius stuff, okay? Do you know in my life, I've got some friends that are attractive. But most of them are average and less. I'm on top of the heap, but that's another story, okay? Do you know I've got some friends that are really wealthy? And you know, I've got some friends that are really poor and needy. I've got some friends that are really healthy and some friends that are not so healthy. I got friends that are dead, by the way. I really miss them. Some I really miss. To the point if I talked about them long enough, I'd start crying. There's some people in my life I really miss. Do you know that there's people in my life that love being with me? And they go, boy, now I say this, I'm not sure if this is true. Boy, a great day would be to spend some time with Mike. Anybody? Okay, nobody. Not even you? Okay. Wow. And do you know that there's some other people that avoid me? You know, some people don't like me. You know, there's some people that have written me off. I can make a list for you of people, including relatives, who've written me off. Haven't heard from them in 30, 40 years. Do you know that? My life is so much like your life. And then it is so different than your life. And the Holy Spirit comes into my individual life in the individual situation I'm in and designs an individual education plan to lead me and teach me to make me more like Jesus Christ, and then to get me, hold it, to have an impact in the situation He put me in amongst the people He's got me in contact with. That's what's going on. That's how dynamic this is. We say flippantly, the Holy Spirit has come to live in me. This is a big deal. This is like one of the biggest deals. The God of the universe. And the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say this, and I know this is on tape, and I'm sure I'll get a reaction to it. The Holy Spirit, for years, has been treated like the weird uncle living in the basement. We don't know about Him. We don't study about Him. We don't almost nothing. We kind of know He's there, but it's just kind of strange. And He never gets due the worship that He needs to get as the God of the universe. And we cease to even figure out most of the time that the God of the universe, by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, has come to live inside of me for my individual life, with my individual choices and likes and dislikes, and the list goes on. That's how dynamic this is. And so this morning we take a look, for the next actually 2 weeks, on what's going on in the inside. What is really percolating inside of me as far as the spiritual Holy Spirit? And you would be surprised that it's a very active Holy Spirit who even right now is working in there. Some of you have clicked off and you're thinking about, did I leave out some food to defrost for lunch or not? I think I did. And maybe some of you are clicking with this scripture and you're going, I hadn't thought about that. Holy Spirit really is doing that. This is kind of neat. So get your notes out, okay, and get a pen out. Take some of these down. This would be worth your getting. The first point we're going to look at this morning as we look on the inside comes from the verse I read at the beginning of the service. John chapter 14, verse 26. And the point that's on your note sheet is this, that the Holy Spirit is teaching me. Let me read this to you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus said this because apparently, hold on. Apparently, I need to know what Jesus said. Now, you might think, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer and I don't get this as quick as I should. But the point of the matter is, I need to know all that Jesus said? Really? Yeah, for me, this is like, you got to be kidding me. I do need to know that. In fact, listen to this. I don't know it intuitively. I don't know it automatically. I don't know it instantly upon believing in Jesus Christ. I run into a guy yesterday, and some of you who spend time with me know that I'll talk to just about anybody. And I was in a situation with a guy that I didn't know, well, a bunch of people. One guy in particular, we just hit it off and started talking, by the name of Daniel. He reminded me, Daniel in the lion's den. I said, yeah, I know, Michael the archangel. And so we were just doing introductions, okay? Think about that later. That's going to be funny, but that really happened. Much to my shame. And so, as we were talking, he says to me that I'm a Christian. And I figured the way he introduced himself, Daniel, like Daniel in the lion's den. So I snap back with the Michael the archangel thing. But listen, the reality is he said something to me was flat out dynamic in the couple minutes we had together. He said this. He said, you know what? I'm a deacon in my church, and I teach a class of men, and I got to tell you something. That coming to Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ is so important. And I agreed with him. I said, yeah, that's a fulcrum event in your life. Everything tips one way or another after that one event. But, and he stopped me because he knew where I was going. He said, but brother, listen carefully. The bottom line is, it's what takes place after that. That's so cool. And he's teaching me my sermon this morning. And he says, what's so cool, well, I slapped him around, shut him up, because I don't want to lose the point. But he said, what's so cool is that Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And then the real change happens. And then the real work of God takes place. And he goes, I have grown so much in Christ in the past 10 years. I am not the same person I was 10 years ago. And they looked at me and said, actually, not the same person a month ago, because he's running a business. And I was like, that's pretty cool. If you're writing some things down this, and that is, the Holy Spirit's teaching me, and I put letters under that that look like this. I need to learn it. I need to learn it. The disciples were getting ready for Christ to leave. Not what they were expecting, but Christ was going to leave, but the Holy Spirit comes to teach. That word teach here in the Greek means this. Again, a good thing to take down. It means to make clear, to make understandable. And I thought to myself, make clear what? The truths of God. Well, what do you think I need in my life? I just killed like 8 tomato plants in my front yard. I don't have, it's not funny, okay? I really did. And in disgust a couple of weeks ago, I tore them down, and this is the truth, wrapped them up into a bundle and put them in a bag. And you know what I did? I had the joy of walking that bag out to the trash and putting it in for trash day and went like this, good riddance to you. Truth of the matter is, as I do a post-mortem on my tomato experience of this year, 8 plants, I got 7 tomatoes. Mike's green thumb is not really working, is it? And this is being real honest, okay? You know what the problem is? Don't laugh at me, the gardener. The gardeners are chuckling. This is not funny in any way, shape, or form, because I got 7 whole tomatoes. Okay? And I did everything I was supposed to do, and it didn't work. But listen carefully. You know what? If I had a little bit more understanding of tomatoes, maybe you're supposed to sing them a song or something, but I feel if I had some more information that apply to them in their growth cycle. Not this stuff up here, but if I honestly knew, Mike, now's the time to add potash. I don't even know what that is. Now's the time to add this. And then hold it. Now's the time to add beef fertilizer. I don't even know what that is. I'm making stuff up now, okay? Now's the time to add vitamin C. If I got any of that, then when the tomatoes were growing up and they got to a certain place, and you gardeners could have told me this, not a one of you did, darn, I had the biggest plants in the neighborhood. They were like 8 feet high. I just couldn't get them to give me any tomatoes. But if I knew stuff at the right points in time, I think I could have got more than 7 tomatoes. The Holy Spirit comes along in my personal life, where I'm at, knowing the things that I need to do to grow in Christ, knowing the experiences that I need to have, knowing the lessons that I need to learn that are just not up here, academia, but they're down here in the trenches of growing the tomatoes. And He exposes those truths to me of God that I can take and I can plug and play. I can use them and hold it. Because of it, if I'd known more and did better, did well, I could be standing here this morning and saying this to you. I had a crop of tomatoes, and I had 8 plants, and they were 8 feet tall, and I supplied the neighborhood with tomatoes, and I've got bushels for you here to take home. Yada, 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 yada. I got 7 tomatoes. And then I whacked them down. The Holy Spirit, to my situation, teaches me the things of God that apply to my life to have and cause me to live that holy life, listen to me, in front of other people. Because I belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the tutor, the personal teacher, teaches me things about Jesus for my life that I can plug and play. And when I do that, other people can see what's going on. I learned the wisdom, the truth, the purposes, the methods, the will of God, which I would not have known by any other means except by the Holy Spirit teaching me. But the key is this. Go back to the teacher illustration. It's for my individual life and what He's called me to do, which is different than what He's called you to do, which is different than what He's called you to do, which is different than what He's called your kids to do. The reality is all those things apply, and I get the highest and best quality teaching. I get, listen, God's teaching. So, Mike, this week, who is going through his devotional experiment for the summer of reading one chapter per day in the Bible, asked me, I'll tell you about it. A couple of you have. Now I'm reading through. And lo and behold, this Wednesday or Thursday, a scripture that I have now read at least 60 times, I'm reading through and I see something I've never seen before. Now you can say this. Well, Mike, you already said you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, so you're finally getting it. Or you could say this. Mike, you really are pretty quick, but you're just getting this? Yeah. The Holy Spirit just showed me a really cool thing in the chapter in John that I'm reading. And it was fresh and it was new. And it's a piece of Scripture I have read over and over and over and over again. And this past Thursday or Friday, I finally got something. That's the experience of the tutor working in your life. In fact, you should be having those kind of situations rather frequently. So the key question at the end of this first point is this. Have you kept yourself in a learning and teaching posture, realizing that the Word of God is one of the key ways that He does this? Have you kept yourself in a learning posture so that the Holy Spirit can teach you? Have you kept yourself in a listening posture so the Holy Spirit can teach you? Have you done that? Let's keep going here in this same verse. Look at this verse 26 as we go on to verse 2. Come on up here, Maddie. As we look to verse 26, he says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The second point on your note sheet, which Matt's going to help us out with, is this. The Holy Spirit will remind me of all that Christ said. Matt, help us understand that, will you?
There's a very famous pastor in England of the 20th century. His name is Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he was actually a medical doctor, a renowned medical doctor in England, and just really took to preaching and pastoring, changed professions, still stayed an excellent doctor to my understanding. Dr. Reed, if you're getting any ideas, it just doesn't pay very well. So you should be aware of that. But he was known for great expository preaching. And I learned of this story many years ago, and it really struck me that he was just going verse by verse by verse. And I don't recall what verse, but he got to a verse that started to talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry. He got into a passage that really went into how the Holy Spirit works in us. Now, in the setting he was in, this is not very much discussed. He's much more of an academic person. And in the middle of the sermon, he was overcome with the realization he didn't know what he was talking about. So he sat down. And then he took to studying this subject. And I feel like a lot of what Pastor Mike was saying, we do experience in the Protestant church now, an avoidance of this topic. Now, to our credit, I think in some settings we discuss it here. Not so much from the pulpit, but beyond just debates about exactly gifts and these sorts of things, the realization is there's no way you're going to understand this book in a way that you have a relationship with Jesus without the Holy Spirit helping you. There's just no way. I had a professor at Ohio University, he was head of the Greek department. He had a PhD in New Testament Greek. He used to teach at Yale. He's actually very nice. Wasn't a believer. He understood the New Testament well. Could really parse the Greek. But he just didn't get why I thought Jesus was the Messiah. We had many discussions. That's striking. When I knew children who could explain it very well, who didn't have PhDs in Greek. Because the Holy Spirit allowed them to see the truth. Something that seems obvious to you if you're a believer. That's a lot of what's going on in John 14. If you remember, what's the context here? Well, we know that Jesus' ministry as the Messiah was to come and live a perfect life, suffer, die, and resurrect. They didn't understand that. All right, so we look at that and go, okay, yeah, of course. That's why they ask questions all the time when he mentions this. They go, huh? What now? What are you going to do? And we have little verses like, they didn't really understand at that time what was happening. Or you could take like John, I think 13, I think 36, Peter says, Jesus says, hey, where I'm going, you can't follow me. And Peter goes, well, why not? There's just a lot of questions like that. So in that context, we get here, by the time we get to 14, Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. When you have him, you're going to recall all these conversations we had, and then you're going to, got it. Now I get it. And that's the context here. So you might say, well, how does that apply to us? Well, there is a principle that applies to us. We may not be in that context, but the same author, that's always really helpful, writes this in 1 John 2:26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So human teachers are fine, but your primary teacher, who you're going to need to understand this, because a human teacher can never teach you this, and a human teacher can only help once you get the fundamentals from the Holy Spirit. It is he who makes you realize these things, the truths about Scripture. You could have read it, and he'll open your eyes to it. Now, you might be in a situation where you're evangelizing, and a passage comes to mind. You may not even know it verbatim, but a general teaching comes to mind that helps you in that setting. And so all of these things can apply. So the Holy Spirit may bring remembrance to you about something you read in Scripture. He may just aid in your witness. Or, as is often the case, he'll help you to understand the Lord's Word better and better so that we can, what? More greatly abide in him, the Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate that. You got your notes? Let's keep going here. Third point is in John chapter 15. Verse 26, let me read it for you. But when the Helper, again the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Your third point is this. The Holy Spirit testifies about Christ, or he bears witness. I want you to note that, but I want you to write on your note sheet this. Write this. Verse 27, which is not up here. It is, but is not on your note sheet. Look at it, okay? Look up top, you'll see. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit bears witness to me, in me about Jesus Christ. He bears witness to me about what Jesus said, about the life of Jesus Christ is valid and as important and what took place. He bears that to me as being true. That's very important. But can you watch something right now? Watch this. The Holy Spirit bears witness to me, and look at verse 27. And then in turn, I am bearing witness to other people. Listen to this. This is no more than the old telephone game. Got it? I'm going to tell, except it's not us. And whenever I played that game as a kid, the old can game and the telephone game and the whispering game and passing on down the line, I was the kid in the line that changed the story. Oh, yeah. You got to have fun where you find it. Okay, so they're telling a story. Mary went down to the street to buy a bar of candy, and somebody whispered to me, and I would turn and say, John went to the store and he robbed it, and it would go down that way. All right, so you know that about me anyway, and I would giggle when it would get to the end, and the story wasn't the same as when it started, because I knew who started it. Okay? Those were good times. All right, just having a moment. Okay. Let me go back to this. Okay. Point of the matter is just think that game, but now take it to divine or originations. Take it to the divine place, God place. God, the Holy Spirit in me, bears witness about Christ. He testifies to me about the things of Jesus Christ. Not so that I can sit here like a tick and go like this. Vroom, vroom, vroom. And get fatter and fatter and fatter, just continue to suck on the Holy Spirit to get this information so that I might continue to grow. So I love when people come to a church and then they leave a church and go, I'm leaving because I'm not getting fed there. I've always loved that. I'm like, we're a church studying the Scripture. You're not being fed, you're just not coming to the buffet because it's here. And the truth is, I just don't get this information so that I can go, vroom, vroom, vroom. No. It was given to me to give to others. Do you catch that? It was given to me to give to others. It was given to me to give to you. It was given to you to give to me. It was given to me and you to share with the people out there that don't know Jesus Christ, to bear witness where God has put us. Both, I believe, to the Christian, because us together affirm each other in this walk, and also for us to bring to the person out there who doesn't even believe God is real, and you bear witness to Jesus Christ to them about the big questions in their life as you live out, listen to me, as you live out the life of Christ, not like them with their ambitions and goals, as you live out the life of Christ, as you react with the reactions of Christ, as you act with the actions of Christ. That's what we do. Think about that for a moment. That only takes place because the Holy Spirit has been testifying to you about Jesus Christ for the purpose of you testifying to others about Jesus Christ. He's going to keep talking to you, and you're going to keep showing and telling them. It does not stop until He calls your life to an end. Fourth point, here it is. In John chapter 16, verse 13, I want you to see this. John 16, 13, Jesus says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." Fourth point, the Holy Spirit guides me in all truth. New Testament says the Holy Spirit is our tutor, our private teacher. Are you starting to get that? Who teaches me what? What am I learning from Him? Well, let me give you some suggestions. He guides me in the ways that are unknown. Hello, what? I'm above average intelligence. I hang out with people like that. You mean I need a guide? I can read a map. I can read a book. Hold it. I can get YouTube. Everything's on YouTube. That's how I learn stuff. I need a guide? Yeah, Mike, you do. He guides me in the truths of God, which, oh, by the way, I don't know those naturally. And then He guides me in the path for my life that is distinctively different than yours. And the God of the universe has come up with that individual path that I'm supposed to take. Leading people to Christ that are only going to come in contact with me for that particular message that I am supposed to and called to share with them. Get it? To live out Jesus Christ with each other, to encourage each other, because life is tough. I like to laugh a lot. Many of you know that I like to laugh. I love to get the giggles. I'd love to sit where you're at right now and get a good case of the giggles when you can't laugh, but you want to laugh, but you're busting up inside. You ever been there? Or is it only me? Okay, it's only me. But when you're in that situation, I love how that feels in so many ways. As wrong as it can be in some contexts like weddings and things like that, I get it. Or funerals. Oh, don't start that, okay? But the truth of the matter is I love to have fun. And a lot of you do too. But underneath that fun, it better be a purpose. A purpose for what God's called you to do. That should be the thing that's driving the ship. You can still have your personality. You can be a little quieter. You can be a little louder. I've run into people that are so loud, I'm like, just get away from me. I need to get a break from you. You just never stop. You ever been with people like that? I have. Can't stand being with them, all right? But the point of the matter is God uses each of these personality types so that your unique experience is used by Him. I can remember one time, I've led over, I think it's 15 trips to the Canadian wilderness. Believe it or not, Mike, who is City Mike in so many ways, I am more in love with subways and buses and things like that than I am country living. I'm sorry for those of you from a farm and out in the middle of nowhere. That's great for you. But where I come from, it was always city where everything's just kind of within a block or two, and that's how it goes. Go down that block, make a right, make a left, you're there. You get the idea. And the reality is I led a bunch of trips, number of men's trips to the Canadian wilderness. And the first couple of times we were there, we took a guide from an outfitting post who looks every bit the part, okay? Something hanging from here, hat kind of cockeyed, rough guy, never shaves, that kind of thing. Don't know if he's going to take you out in the woods and kill you and leave you there for dead. You don't know that, okay? But I had my eye on him because I'm from the city and you never know who you can trust, all right? And I remember the first time he drove us up in this boat and we are weaving for 45 minutes in between islands and trees and gophers and I don't know what else we drove around out there, getting all the way up these 30, 40 miles up to where he was going to drop us off in the wilderness. We're dead, as far as I'm concerned. Good thing I stuffed my pockets with Cheerios. And so, as we were driving up there, and he's making these tight little bends around islands and tight little bends around rocks, and we are so far up north, I don't know where we are. I saw one sign, "Welcome to Russia," but I don't know if we went that far. We were way up there, and you know what? As we were driving, I leaned over to my best friend on the planet, and I said to this guy, "I hope he knows where he's going, because I have no clue where we're at." And the fact of the matter is we trusted this guy year after year after year to do exactly that. You know why? He was a guide. And if we started at his place and he gave me the keys to the boat and said, "Let's go, you drive, you figure it out," there's no way in the world I would have been able to make that trip. It would have taken me 6-8 hours on the map going like this. You know what I'm talking about. But with a guide, it's amazing. I've been out on private fishing charters with a guide, and they take you to places that don't look like there's any fish, at least in my mind. If I'm a fish, I wouldn't live here. But lo and behold, they take you to places where fish live. And they say, drop the line here. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. But he's the captain who's our guide. And guess what? We drop the line right here. And guess what happens after that? We were catching fish. And lo and behold, I guess he knows who he's talking about, because I would have gone over there, but he went over here. And somehow he can tell the difference. We trust different guides in our life, and those are just sporting and outdoor things. But we trust our doctor because they know a way. We trust our financial advisor because they know the way. We trust a lot of people at work because they've done this stuff before. And you're getting the idea, aren't you? The Holy Spirit guides me with the truth of God in my life because I am completely incapable of finding my way. There is no way in the world I can do this and get where I'm supposed to go. And in this life, it's a lot harder than weaving and bobbing between islands up in the north and getting to your destination. In real life, it's tougher than that, because along the way, this happens and it hurts. This happens and it just kills my spirit. This happens and it completely deflates me. This happens and that's a real tragedy. That happens and you're getting the idea. Real life brings a lot of weight and pain on me. And I don't know the way through that wilderness. And the Holy Spirit guides me through it, as tough as it is, guides me through it so that I can survive, thrive, and represent Jesus Christ in every element of it. You got that? Have you ever sat in a funeral? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Where half a family, I'll do it with you, is laying in the front of the funeral room, in the viewing room. Half a family that's died in a fire. A family that you're good friends with, or maybe it was your relatives. And you're standing in that viewing room in that funeral home. Caskets are closed because they can't be shown. They've got pictures on top of the casket. And I see the family. I'm the pastor. Hurts me some. I didn't know these people all that well. But I know the people from our church who it was their kids. And their kids' kids. Help me with something now. You start to feel their pain. And you start to look at that couple from your church who are now dealing with the loss of this many people in their family. Tell me something. Do you need a guide through that experience? I do. I don't know how to handle that. I've walked up a number of times from the hearse carrying a baby casket. We can remember some situations. My wife's watched me do this. And walk all the way up to where the baby was going to be buried. And walking with me are the parents and the grandparents that I'm friends with, crying their eyes out over the fact that this kid less than a week old is now dead. Do you know the way through that wilderness? I don't. Reality is that life's tough. And the only way to get through that wilderness is by the Holy Spirit as your guide to take you through all of those situations and events and somehow to use them for Jesus Christ and for His impact. Remember, the God of the universe is living inside of you for just those situations, which, by the way, He enables you to go through, takes you through, to develop you into being Jesus Christ. Last point is in John 16:13. You can look at it with me. It's on the sheet up here, okay? I wanted you to see this, though, in a different way than what we just covered. The Holy Spirit tells me the future. What? Did you notice toward the end of verse 13? He will declare to you the things that are to come. That's the future. Any good guide warns me of danger, like that outfitter guy that drove us up through the wilderness. A couple times we came up to a point of an island, and there was a whole host of Indians there, and they had torches burning, and they were going to attack. And he said, oh, you want to avoid that? Well, naturally we did. We made a hard turn and went away from that tribe that was going to get us. But watch this. Suppose before you even got there, your guide knew that they were there. Suppose he knew that hoodlums and bandits were at a certain point in the wilderness. And he says this, we're not going to go by there. You know why? Because there's a whole outpost of hoodlums and bandits. They all on motorcycles. And here they come on an island in the Canadian wilderness. And there they are. And they're coming after us. So we're not going to go there. I say, but I want to see them. He says, no. We're going to make a turn before we get there. We don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit warns me about upcoming danger while He's leading me to safe places. You want an example of that? Here's the example of that, and it's very easy. You know what I've learned? I've learned that this afternoon, that if I run into a very pretty girl, really pretty girl, really pretty girl, and she notices me, because I figure I'm at the age right now where people just look past me, you know, anywhere I'm at. I mean, hopefully you've noticed that about yourself. It's funny. But this pretty girl, she just loves me to death. And she's got a car full of gold and money. And she just wants to spend the rest of her life with me. And so I decide that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? Yeah, I don't know who this girl is, by the way. And you know what? I go and I do that. And I take off and go live with her with the billions of dollars of gold she has in her car. And fact of the matter is what? I already know before I get there that that's wrong. Hold it. I already know before I get there the bridge is out. I already know that there's no satisfying God by doing that. I already know that that's disobedient and that's sin. I already know before I get there, because the Holy Spirit has already taught me that there's danger over there. Don't even look that way, Mike. Don't do that. I know that before I get there. And so I know not to do that. This isn't fortune telling or prophesying the future. It's the key information of how God has called me to live. I get in a situation, I can get out of a bind, and I can lie about it. And nobody will ever find out. But I also know this, that the lying does not honor God in any certain way at all. In fact, it displeases Him. So I know that I won't do that, I won't lie. Instead, I will tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. There you go, that's what we're talking about. He guides me about things in the future. He tells me about the paths that are not the best for me. Remember in John 14:26, back to the beginning? The Holy Spirit is called the Helper. The Helper? Yeah, the Comforter. The Helper. And the God of the universe decided that when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. And when He does, not just the access, but the living inside you, to use you for Him, mold you into Christ, and make you a dynamic witness by, hold it, your mouth and your actions for Jesus Christ. And in order for you to do that, you're going to need the Holy Spirit living in you, because that's a tall order to be obedient to. Let's bow in prayer. With your head bowed, it is just amazing to me that the God of the universe, with all His power, the God of the universe with all His wisdom, all His knowledge, all His insight, is now living in me? That's dynamic. And we forget that so easily. We go from day to day, week to week, we struggle, we hurt, we're in pain. And we seem to forget that the God of the universe is living inside of me. Our Father God, how we thank You for the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us to do so many dynamic things that we could never have accomplished on our own. And so, Father, this morning, we ask that You'd make us more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. And in a new way this morning, we open ourselves for Your teaching, for Your instruction, for Your wisdom, and then, Father, for boldness to act on those things in the place that You've put us in life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.